merciful Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your grace, your power, your strength, and everything that you've done for us. Teach us to know wisdom. Teach us how to walk before you in truth. Protect us from the ungodly. Protect us from the wicked. Let us not make you ashamed. Let us not do anything that will bring distaste to your word. Help us by your mighty power to be prepared for the race that is set before us. Help us to be prepared no matter where we go or what we do, to realize it's not about us. We must understand and realize you are the King eternal, immortal, invisible. You dwell in the light that is unapproachable. We're in full need of you. Strengthen us, guide us where we're sick, where we have ailments. We ask for your power and your might to bring us to the place that we need to be, and that you would deliver us from any oppression that we may have. Help us to fulfill your role and fight like we should. Bless our children and those that are with us. Help us in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Amen, amen, and amen. Tonight, as we go through this magnificent scripture, I need you to understand that something is going on powerfully here. In this scripture, we're getting to see what the life of a believer is. We're getting to see what it means to walk with God. And our title for tonight is, Don't Let Being the Song of the Fool Discourage You. Don't let being the son of the fool discourage you at all. Let me read these verses and I'll give you the opportunity to see what's going on in this chapter. It's quite amazing. It's not one that we probably think about all of the time, but if you do, you have to understand that being a child of God will cost you. It will cost you more than you even think that it will. Listen to what the Word of God says here. To the chief musician upon Shoshanim, Psalm of David. Help me, O God, for the waters are coming to my soul. I sink deep. Notice this. The waters have come into deep waters. I sink deep in the mire. There is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They would destroy me. Mine enemies wrongfully are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness. My sins are not hid from thee. Let them that wait on thee, O God of hosts, be ashamed for thy sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake. O God of Israel, because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. I have become a stranger unto my brethren, an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I am become a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me. I was the song of the drunkards. That's not the whole chapter, but that's where I'm going to focus in on tonight. I'm going to focus in on tonight is that if you let being the song of the drunkard discourage you, you will not stand. If you allow the reproaches, the slander, the ill treatment, the laughing of those, the mockery of those that are less than you are morally, that are less than you financially, that are less than you physically, that are less to you in the kingdom, if you let their mockery, their laughter, their disdainment, their ill treatment of you discourage you, you will not stand. These are the tools that are set forth by the Satan, by the adversary, the accuser of the brethren, and those that are in his realm of dominion by deceit, by choice, or whatever it is against God. But this is nothing new. For if you're familiar with the scripture, you will know this was the lot of Jesus the Christ. You will know if you had read the scriptures and understood what the Bible had said, you would know this is what it will be. What do you mean, Tim? I want you to take a look at some of what the Bible has said. The Bible has said, or the Bible says, however you want me to say it, is either way is going to be the same thing. Listen to Isaiah chapter 52. Verse 13, laying out what it would be for Jesus. Why are we talking about laying out for Jesus? It's because if Jesus didn't go through something, why should we even need to be the song of the fool? Why should we even have to worry about being discouraged by the song of the fool? Why couldn't we just stamp it out? Why couldn't David just stamp it out all the time? So I want you to see, because we're going to deal with this chapter in more than one session, and I want to deal with it from the vantage point of Jesus the Christ, because I want to encourage our hearts or prepare our minds for battle. Isaiah 52 and 13, when it talks about the Lord Jesus, it says, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. And many were astonished at thee." That's a beautiful thing there. Extolled, exalted very high, and you have people being afraid, or they look at him and they're appalled at him. But notice, for him to be exalted, to be very high. Look at what he goes through first. His visage, this is the way he looked, was so marred, more than any man. Can you imagine your form being marred more than any man? And his form more than the sons of man. Notice. So he shall sprinkle many nations, and kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that they had not been told, them shall they see. See, those which had not been told, they are going to see. And that which they had not heard, they shall consider. How does this work? 53:1. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm or the strength of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form of comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Listen to the song that the fools will be able to sing, because this is how he's going to be looked at in the world. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And we hid as if it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripe we are healed. The book of Isaiah says this about the servant of the Lord and who he would be. What did Jesus say to his disciples that their life would consist of? Because he said something about what their life would consist of before he died and before he was raised from the dead, before he sat down on the right hand of majesty, and before he sent the Holy Spirit. He told them that whatever I have gone through, you will go through. And many of the prophets that have prefigured him have gone through these things. They also were the song of the fool and had to stand and determine that they would despise the shame. Listen to what Jesus told his disciples. John chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that you, your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. What have we just read right here? Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love. Even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You got to keep this in mind, because he's going to tell them about them being in the position to be the song of the fool. So before he tells them this, he tells them it's imperative that you stay with my Father. It's imperative that you keep my commandments. It's imperative that you stay in the love of God. Listen to verse 11 again. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is a commandment that you have. This is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Greater love have no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Listen. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hate you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Understand this, verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Let me interject this to you. If I'm going to be despised and rejected, if I'm going to be acquainted with grief, if they're going to hide, as it were, their face from me, if there are going to be times I'm going to be marred, if there are times that I'm going to be called a bastard to be spit upon, you expect the same thing. If they will mock and they will allow people to pay witnesses to lie against me, understand, you're not greater than me. You don't even come close. But it's because I've chose you. But I'm telling you, in the midst of all of this external things that come upon you that will internally cause you problems, and you will become the song of the fools. And many times the ones that are fools think they're smart. And people will join in. Don't let it discourage you. Hold on. Hold on, hold on. Here is the encouragement again, verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you, that the servant is not greater than his Lord. And if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you, my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done the works which none other did, they had not sinned, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. 25, listen. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that was written in their law. They hated me without a cause. I submit to you this Psalm 69. It does cover some of the life of David, but we're focusing on Jesus the Christ tonight, and we can focus on David in the next message. We'll still have more to go with the Lord Jesus, but listen to what he's saying here. To the chief musician, Shoshanim, a psalm of David. Save me, O God, for the waters are coming to my soul. They are about to drown me. It is so heavy, it is so much. I sink in the mire, I sink in the mud. This is deep. I sink in the mire. There will be a representation of me that will have come before I came to the earth to dwell as man. Jeremiah, they put him in the mud. They put him in the mire. They were going to let him die. I sink in the mire where there is no standing. There is no stability there for me. I am coming to deep waters where the floods overflow me. We ought to know something about floods overflowing somebody. What about those boys they just rescued this week that had been in the water, that had been in that cave for about 2 weeks that I prayed for? What about the people when their floods come in there, maybe they barely can hold on to a tree or something? He is saying these waters overflow me, and these waters are not just waters of what you call wet waters. These are waters of a flood of tyranny, a water of a flood of anger and vitriol and mistreatment. He said, I've come into deep waters, but the floods overflow me. Flood is a picture of what God used to destroy the ancient world. And here are the floods of the wicked coming against me. And he says, listen, I am weary of my crying. That means I've cried a long time. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dry. Grace of what? Got a mint? It says my throat is dry. Do you ever seen anybody with Sjogren's that cannot get water or moisture in their mouth? I've seen it. I've seen it even in my own family. Throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for God. My eyes are weak. My hope is going away. That's not really the song of the fool, but I want you to watch this. Watch and understand what's going on. They hate me. They that hate me, look, without a cause, are more than the hairs of my head. Remember he said in John chapter 15, 25, Jesus the Christ talking to the disciples said, but this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in that law. They hated me without a cause. I've done nothing to them. I've done nothing ungodly. I have not beat anybody out of their money. I have not lied on anybody. I have not taken their wife. I have not borne false witness. I have not stole. They have not seen me blaspheme God, or they have not seen me break any of his commandments. But they hate me without a cause. This is how they did the Lord Jesus. He came to bring the truth. He is the truth. He came to bring the light. He is the light. He came to bring life. He is the life. In other words, when he came bringing everything he needed embodied in himself. And they hated perfect life, perfect truth, perfect righteousness, perfect redemption. They wanted something else and they hated him without a cause. And he says, they are more than the hairs on my head, that they would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully or mighty. There are a lot of them and they are strong. Listen to how much strength they had. Then I restored that which I took not away. Imagine having to pay somebody something you didn't take. I know what it feels like. I was accused one time of busting a woman's pipe in the wintertime. And when I got to the woman's house, the hose were already on. I didn't turn it off. I was accused of busting it. And when she found out, I said, well, I needed the money. Yeah, I didn't like it. But I love the Lord. How much more so when you are despised and rejected and you are acquainted with grief and people hide their face and you bearing somebody else's transgression, somebody else's iniquity, and by your stripe they are healed. How much more then when Paul says it, when you read your Bible and you begin to understand how ugly, how nasty and filthy they're going to talk about us. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, you might want to write this down. This is a beautiful thing to know. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and the obscuring of all things until this day. Now, I want you to understand that says a lot. What do you mean, Tim, that says a lot? Looks like it's only just a few words. I mean, you know, you just wanting to say something to make your message seem like it's glistening and shining in the air. And I say, you don't know the scripture. First of all, in that culture, men would have sex with boys and they called it pederasty. They would call the boy the catamite. And the men would lay up with them. That's why you see that talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 12. That's why you see the Bible talk about it in 1 Timothy. These men would lay up with the boys and make them wrestle naked. That's called Greco-Roman wrestling in the gymnasium. In that world, the men would have sex with the boys for pleasure and have the women for their wives. In that world, men would lay around in soft clothes and eat and get fat, and they would leave their babies out on the street to die. They would practice all kind of ungodly cultist things and often lay up with animals. And even Caligula had his own sister, had sex with her, got her pregnant, cut the
wife, well, killed his wife, stomped her to death, and when he couldn't find a match for her, went and got another boy that looked like his wife, castrated and married him. And Paul is saying, to them, we are the outscouring of the world. To them. In their wickedness, in their filth, they consider Paul, Titus, Timothy, and the apostles the offscouring of the world. That's the way it is, just is. So he says, let's go back to our text. Psalms 69. We right here, verse number 5, it says, they that would destroy me, being my enemies, wrongfully or mighty, did I restore not which I took away. Jesus restores life to us. Jesus restores life to us. We're under the death penalty. Jesus restored that which he did not take away. Relationship. And he restores to us reconciliation to God. He paid the penalty. And it says, let, this is very important. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. You got to know that in this particular passage, Jesus had no foolishness. The only foolishness that you would ever see from Jesus would be what they call the foolishness of preaching. But in taking our sins, that is the only way you could apply that to Jesus. This would have to be applied to David. And we do find time to look at the psalm. There are some things that David, as representative of God or representative of Jesus, will fail. This one doesn't fail in the sense that Christ was considered to be foolish and that he took on our foolishness, but to participate in it, no, not one. Then he says, let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed. Sovereign Yahweh of armies, do not let them be ashamed. No matter what you do, Father, raise me up to the position that I can be brought to you on the clouds, that they can bring me before you, and that you can give me a kingdom and dominion and power over the earth so that I can rule and reign, and those that follow me can rule and reign. Even on the earth, when they beat me, when they scourge me, let me not be brought to shame. Vindicate me, Lord. Vindicate me. Raise me up. And the Bible shows that Peter said they did that. This same Jesus whom you killed. Go look at Acts chapter 2 sometime. Whom you killed, whom you crucified, God has raised him up. Bring me up. The prayer of the child of God should be, no matter what comes, whether they lying on me. They may lie on you and say, you killed somebody. You stole somebody. Stole something from somebody or stole somebody in this culture. Raped somebody. Did something you had no business doing. They may Photoshop you and make you look like you did something on the video. But as God does not let you be ashamed, as God to vindicate for his sake. Why? This is why they're doing it. Jesus said, they did it to me. They'll do it to you. Do not let the song of the foolish discourage you. Don't let it make you be ashamed, but hold on to God. So here's the prayer. In that position, let not them that wait on you, Lord, for your deliverance and your time. And notice it used the word Adon, where it says, Lord, capital L in the small O-R-D, that's Adon, that's sovereign. Sovereign Yahweh of hosts. Don't let us be ashamed. Don't let them be ashamed for my sake. Let those that seek thee, notice, let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Isn't that beautiful? Do we have that kind of care and concern in our lives that we don't want other people that's seeking after God be confounded because of what we do? Let them see your glory in the life that we live. Listen to verse 7. Because for thy sake, I have borne reproach.
Have you ever put up with something you didn't have to? Have you ever paid for something you really didn't have to? Have you ever suffered wrong and you didn't have to? When we talk about Jesus, for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brethren. My brethren come and they say, if you want to be something in John chapter 7, why don't you go up there in the opening? Why don't you go up there in front of everybody? And Jesus said, well, you go on up. The world can't hate you, okay? You go. The world can't hate you. You're not the offscouring of the world. You're not despised and rejected. Come on up. You go. Let me do what the Father has for me to do. And then he says, an alien unto my mother's children. Why is that? Because of this, as the servant of the Lord, my eyes is fixed on him. My eyes is fixed on what God wants. So he says, for the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. I have gotten excited and angered about the thing that goes on and the thing that they do to God's house. It has eaten me up. And then he says, the reproaches of them that reproach you, they fell on me. Do we feel that? Have we been called like Jesus to be the servant? We are his friends. Do we love what he loves? Jesus said, when they hate me, they hate you, Father. Have we gotten so identified with him that when they hate us because they hate God? Said, reproaches of them that reproach thee have fallen upon me. And when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. When I fasted and prayed, they made fun of that. It was like I did wrong. I made sackcloth my garment. I became like a proverb, a byword to them. And they just sit in the gate of judgment. They just sit in the gate where people congregate together, speak against me. And I was the song of the drunkard. Let's go back and see what we're looking at here. These are the things that went on with the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the things that went on in the life of David, many of these things. But when we talk about us, when we talk about us, when the waters come, when the mire, we can't have nowhere to really stand with things going on, and we cry out to God so much so that physically it bothers us, and we realize that they hate us with a cause. If we are going to understand that that's our lot to be the song of the fool, let's not be discouraged. Let's not turn back, because we know that this has happened to other people. We know they want to destroy. We understand they're being big in number because they represent another kingdom, and that kingdom want to blot out what we're doing for God. It may be, and it may look like foolishness when we're doing righteousness, but it's not foolishness if we hold on to God. And then we see, let not them that wait on thee be ashamed. Well, David had talked about that before. When David talked about it in Psalms 25, remember when we were in Psalm 25? Listen to what David says here in Psalm 25 and 2. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. We don't want to fail. We don't want God's enemies to triumph over us, because people need to see what God will do for us. And it says, let not those that seek thee be confounded, not dishonored for my sake. Don't let me live like that. And then he says, for thy sake I have borne reproach. When David says he has borne reproach, what is he talking about? Well, when he said, for thy sake, read Hebrews chapter 10 sometime. But I'll give you one verse of specificity to look like, to look at. Hebrews 10 verse 7 says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. In the volume of the book, it is written to do your will. It was written for me to take away sins. It was written of me to bear reproaches. It was written upon for me to come and bear and defeat the evil one. It is written of me to come and give the commandments that you have for the people, because Moses had said, here the one that comes after me, the prophet, hear him. And what did that prophet Jesus say? What did that Son of God Jesus say? What did that King Jesus say? They hated me. They will hate you without a cause. But this is what they're going to do. And then he says in John chapter 16, the time will come that they will kill you and think they do God's service, let alone the mocking. But the Bible says he endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the Father. You read sometimes Hebrews 12, 1 through 4. You will see it. Shame has covered my face. They got me naked. They put the curse sign on me of thorns on my head. They stripped me naked. They stripped me and make me to be a reproach upon the people. Strip me of my garment. Strip me of my dignity. Put all kind of mess on top of me. And then it says, for the zeal, I have become a stranger to my brethren, an alien to my mother's truth, and the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. That bothered them when that would happen. But if you look in the book of Psalms, where we going to go, in 119th Psalm, 139, listen to what he says. My zeal has consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten thy word. That psalmist says that, but we see the same thing with Jesus. What do you mean, Tim? Jesus said, the scribes, Matthew 23 and 1, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, but all they bid unto you observe and do, but don't do as they do, for they say and do not. And then he gives 7 woes against those men. Do the zeal of God's house ever confound you? Or do you only think of God's house as a building? Do you ever think of God's house as his people? There was a man in the Bible that the zeal of God's house ate him up. The man's name is Phinehas. That was those that was opposed to live for God. They were wicked and ungodly. They were doing ungodly sex, and they felt that they were right. And Phinehas saw that the nation was going to be destroyed. And in Numbers chapter 25, verse 11 through 13, the Bible says, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, have turned away my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel. This is why Jesus was the song of the fool. This is why we should be the song of the fool. When we learn to care about what God cares about, there are times when we speak up. There are times that we do things that establish righteousness, and people will hate you for it. They will lie on you for it. But Phinehas showed that when he did it by God giving him the approval, that he knew who to please. Same kind of thing we see in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 10. We ain't going to read the whole story, but I'm going to tell you that the people of God had turned from God. They were serving by all fallen the priests and the prophets of Jezebel. And God let Elijah get up there, and God did not ashamed Elijah. He allowed Elijah to win not only the contest, but mock their gods, mock their priests, and put them to death. But then Jezebel heard it and said, I'm going to kill him. And so in the 10th verse, Elijah had run away, but notice what he had said before in the 19th chapter of 1 Kings, verse 10. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altar, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Notice, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord of hosts. That's what it's about. All these precursors to the Lord. So we see in John chapter 2, 17, where Jesus had made a scourge of 3 cords, and he went in and he whipped some hiney. Well, some folk might not know what hiney is. That's your backside. And when I was little, my daddy said, I'll whip your hiney. I got a little older, it got to be, I'll beat your butt.
But when I was little, it was tiny. That's your backside. And so notice what happened. These men were in there selling at the time of the Passover, changing money. And what did the Bible say in John chapter 2? It's very beautiful. Verse 15, it says, when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them, the soul doves, take these hence, make not my father's house the house of merchandise. And the disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house have eaten me up. Sometimes as a child of God, nothing bothers us, and we'll never be the song of fools. We'll be singing with the daggum fools. What's wrong with us? Why can't we be like Jesus and stand for what the Father stands for? Because we become discouraged. It's because we don't want to be that song. It's because we don't want to be the offscouring of the world. It's too much risk to be zealous for the Lord. And so we never get the zeal of his house. Whose house are we if we continue in the faith? That's what the Bible says. And so verse 9 says, and the zeal of thine house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that have fallen, that the reproaches of them that have reproached thee are fallen upon me, and I wept and I chastened my soul with fast. Do you realize that's not the first time that David has said that? He also said that when we were back in chapter 35. Remember that? 35, 13, and 14. Remember this. Listen. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. I behaved as though he had been my friend and my brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. Do you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ, all of these things that he did for these people, he went about doing good, healing the sick, cleansing the leper, opening the eyes of the blind. He raised Lazarus from the dead to give them a picture. He gave them the eternal word of God and fed them. And at the time when it came for people to stick with him, let him be crucified, his blood be on us and our children. He saved others. Him tell me, can I say, tell me who hit you in the face? You be a prophet, huh? Tell it. You said he had tear his temple down and raise it back in 3 days. The song of the foolish and the drunkards. You say, but that's not making his clothing sackcloth. Listen to me. The sackcloth in the mourning is going through suffering, and that he humbled himself for them. You can't tell me that Jesus did not humble himself for the people. He did it for God, but in doing it for God, he humbled himself amongst us. He was meek and lowly in heart, yet he was in charge. And he said, I became a proverb to them. I became a byword. They called me all kinds of stuff. They were communing together to try to figure a way to destroy me. And then it says, they that sit in the gate speak against me. You all want to go through and read all of the 26th chapter of Matthew and see how they went against him and lied and how they tried him these times illegally? And he said, and I was the song of the drunkard. Even when he was on the cross, one of those malefactors had too much to say. But what's a picture? What's a picture of the children of God being made like that? Well, you know, in the book of Lamentation, when they sin, the Bible says in Lamentation 3 and 45, thou hast made us as the offscouring and refuge in the midst of the people. That's when you deserve it. Paul talks about being the offscouring of the people when we don't deserve it. But I want you to hear it from Job, then we'll go into discussion. In the book of Job, chapter 30, verse 1, I want you to see how this works. Now, chapter 29 is like one of my favorite chapters in Job because it showed how he had walked with God, how he had loved God, what he had done for God, how great, you know, how great God had been in his life, how he had took care of, he did things for the poor, how he defended the ones that were being hurt, mistreated, how people listened to him, how he conducted himself. But now that he was going through something, listen to what Job says. He says, 30 and 1, 9 is where we're going to rest. It says, and I also want to read it in the New American Standard Bible because there's some ways it's written in the KJV that's going to make it harder to understand.
So let's listen to it in the New American Standard Bible, Job 30 and 1. But now those younger than I mock me, whose fathers I disdain to put with the dogs of my flock. Indeed, what good was the strength of their hands to me? Vigor had perished from them. From want and famine, they are gaunt, who gnaw the dry ground by night in waste and desolation, who pluck mallow by the brushes, whose food is the root of the broom shrub. They are driven from the community. They shout against them as against the thief. So they dwell in dreadful valleys, in holes of the earth and out of rocks, among whom brushes they cry out. Under the nettles, they are gathered together. Fools, even those without name. They are scourged from the land. And now I have become their taunt. I have even become a byword to them. They abhor me. They stand aloof from me. They do not refrain from spitting at my face, because he is loosed by his bowstring and afflicted me. They have cast off the bridle before me. On the right hand, their brood arises. They thrust aside my feet and build up against me ways of destruction. I'm not going to read any more of that. You can read it and you can see how they treated Job. But the point being made is that being the song of the fool, you want to walk with God. If you're going to live for God, if you're going to walk like Jesus did, you will become the song of the fool. You cannot let that discourage you. Jesus went through it. David went through it. Paul went through it. Job went through it. Many in Hebrews chapter 11 went through it. If we're going to walk with him, we will be the offscouring of the world. We will be the song of fools. If you cannot take injustice, if you cannot take being lied on, if that will discourage you, you're not going to be one of those that they will mistreat without a cause. This is the lot for the believer. Just like Jesus was the servant of Yahweh, we are supposed to be the servant of Yahweh. Let us evermore ask God to strengthen us, that those that come against us, it will always be without a cause. Let it always be that the zeal of God's house, his people, his standard, his righteousness is what motivates us to be faithful to him. Father, I thank you for your blessed, your righteous, and your eternal word. I ask you by your might and your power to cause us to be the people that you would have us to be. Let us not make anyone stumble because we brought shame to the cause of Christ or given the enemies of yours a chance to blaspheme. Let us evermore lift up your name, lift up your power, and that we will do things as right and righteous before you. Bless our assembly. Bless our resolve that we will not be discouraged, and that we will not turn back, that we will stand strong, because our Master, our Savior, your Son, he stood and paved the way for us. Amen. Amen. And even so, amen.